It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Teddy J, and the drive home to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Give us a call at 617-779-7937. And as much as it was awesome to hear the legend, Joe Castiglione, make that call, I can't even imagine what yesterday's game would have sounded like if it was Will Fleming, or better yet, Cooper Boardman. There, it would have been a lot of volume. I really love Will Fleming on the call. I think he does an amazing job because he's one of us. Like, he's somebody that it seems seemed completely frustrated with his team and, like, just pissed off almost when they were as horrible as they were. So when this team started performing well over the last couple of weeks, you heard him lose his mind, which is great, because at home, I think we were kind of doing the same thing. You audibly heard him high-five Will Middlebrooks during that final game of the White Sox series.
I feel like you're stupid. I feel like you're setting me up for this. I literally just got a text from Will, okay? Now, I don't know if he's listening on delay, because he says, FYI, Loftus is wrong. So we had started the show talking about our sales manager, Mike Loftus, who had we were talking before the show, and Loftus said, basically, he's kind of disappointed they won the game yesterday because he wants them to spur action and go out and get somebody big, and he thinks they're just going to kind of moneyball it and not do anything, which is kind of how I believe that. I'm going to believe it when I see it with Breslow, because he just hasn't done that in season for a big bat. However, Will says they are trying to swing big. They are trying to swing big. That's
Will, you and I right here, Will, I'm telling you, like I have been saying this, the same thing, is that Breslow's job has been on the line for the entire season. I mean, they've been awful, and there's been articles written about him. They say that he needs a translator to speak to anybody, you know, in the organization. You know, he has been getting absolutely killed. And you know what you do when your job's on the line? You put your balls out there, and you try to do something drastic to shake things up. And right now, you are finally in a position where you legitimately, for the right reasons, could go all in. And what that means to me is save your job, Craig Breslow, and bring in a bat.
Full on. Because balls on the table.
Absolutely. Just, you know, put them clankers out.
You and Will are simpatico. Wow.
I'm telling you, we're on the same page. When I hear him do play-by-play, I'm like, he's one of us. Like, I can hear his soul dying when they were playing awful.
Well, right, then, but is that a wish that's going to happen, or is that actually based in
heaven?
Probably
like Shibuzi said, one, here comes the two, to the three, to the four.
Thank you.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's not me. But what we can go back on is we can go back on when we had Ken Rosenthal on the show, and he said that ownership.
That was Buster.
Was making
Buster
calls.
Said that.
Oh, Buster only. Okay. Mm-hmm. Buster only was on our show, and he said that ownership was making calls to get a big bat. And that was when they were awful. So you don't think they're doing that now when they think they legitimately could have a shot?
Well, where did those calls lead to? Nothing. I mean, it was, again, Bubkis. If they were making calls, they got nothing done. Then they talked about pivoting, right? I mean, that was Sam Kennedy, who on the record said we might have to think about pivoting.
Yes.
Now it's been, well, Breslow has said we're not giving up. To his credit, he threw all this, has said that. But then it's a whole other leap to say we're going, quote, all in, and to go out and get somebody. And I don't even think it's smart for a rental. If you're going to get somebody, you need somebody with term at the back end of it. Because you have a young group, a sort of young group. I mean, they do have some veterans, obviously Gray and Ranger. But Ranger's going to be here 5 years now. You signed that long-term deal. I would get somebody that at least has a year or two on the back end of that.
Yeah, Breslow, get pissed. You know, remember everything everybody said about you. Remember the awful articles that were written. Remember the stuff that our station said, that everyone's been saying about how this has been an embarrassment, an all-time bad Red Sox team.
I'm pissed.
And you know what? Make the kind of move so the end of the season you can stick a middle finger in all of their faces, faces.
But what's Breslow going to say, Ken? Like, we're giving up? You know, you can't say that. I just feel like we do the same song and dance every year, and I just end up disappointed.
Well, they did make the playoffs last year. I mean, that's one thing you got to give him that credit for. I mean, so if he puts together another postseason run, then that's a 2-year pretty impressive body of work for a guy who just took over a few years ago.
I don't know if we can use that as the gauge just to make the playoffs. Like, I mean, this has been a disaster. It's been awful. And this team, I mean, honestly, let's say they just played regular baseball and just both years they got knocked out the first round. You would think that's acceptable?
No,
you
want to
see. You think that's something where you want to keep somebody's job longer?
Well, you want to see an arrow in the upward direction. I think last year people were definitely happy, you know, making the postseason. Granted, you don't want to lose to the Yankees. That's never good. But that was good progress. And then you wanted to see them go out and spend, which they did, but only on pitching. They pivoted bizarrely away from Pete Alonso, who's had a good first half. How good would you be with this team and Pete Alonso in the middle of the lineup right now?
Schwarber, the favorite to win tonight, the home run derby.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of issues with that. And that's the other part of it, too, is that as much as I want Craig Broza to go on, do you trust him? Do you trust him to bring in a good bat? As a matter of fact, let's go to Jesse on line one. Jesse, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, guys. So I wanted to – I have a proposal, all right? So this guy, Breslow, you have to give him credit. He's excellent at getting pitchers for us. He's been great. Past Suarez, everybody. But on the other side of things, with the exception of Contreras and maybe Durbin's heating up, the guy pretty much blows at everything else, especially the trade deadline. So I say we have you guys, Rich, Ken, and Tez, on the trade deadline. And I like the idea of Jeremy Peña. I would love
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
You guys can also help him. You guys do the radio. You guys can help him with his human-to-human skills.
There we go.
Instead of doing all these AI interviews. So that's my proposal.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate
that. That's the first support of my Jeremy Peña proposal in weeks. So I appreciate
that. But listen, I got to... You know, there are things you give him credit for. He's absolutely right. The pitching and that he's brought in is fantastic. And you know what? Maybe we're going to look back and say the decision to get rid of Alex Cora and bring in Chad Tracy was a good move. Because right now, just comparing the sample size we have for this season, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's worked so far. Yep. Like, Chad Tracy has a better record. This team is
playing
better.
He's 36 and 31. Cora was 10 and 17. So just factually, he made the right move. I mean, right now, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I keep saying this, but I mean it, is that it's time to give Chad Tracy a lot of credit. I mean, he's holding this team together. He seems to be pushing all the right buttons. They're not making as many stupid mistakes as they did at the beginning. That was the one thing, is they were playing bad baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, oh my God, the amount of people that they would strand on base. I mean, it's not like the Red Sox don't do that anymore, but I mean, it was like infuriating.
Well, can you imagine being a Mets fan? So all the money they spent, and they do have Juan Soto, but Soto drops the ball to start that game Friday.
Yeah.
And that's a key to deciding the game. And then yesterday, Francisco Lindor, who had a good game up until that point, a huge error in the ninth that would have been a game-ending double play, and that blows it. It's like you understand how Mets fans must feel. That was the Red Sox a couple weeks ago, but the Mets are even more Red Sox than you are.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, there's also, like, you know, how the Red Sox or the Yankees fans felt when the Red Sox swept them. I mean, at the time, like, the Yankees series was the first one that made you go, oh, my goodness, that was unbelievable.
It was shocking.
How did you do that?
Plus the late plane coming back on the, you know, facing Schlittler on that Thursday.
Well, now we should root for late planes because they play very well when they show up at 4:15 like they did the other night, which is still insane how a team can. In this day and age, especially when the game was over at like 5 p.m. the day before, it wasn't like a late game or anything, that they still got there at like 2 hours before first pitch. Let's go to Tim on line one. Tim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Tim.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Thanks, bud.
I wanted to say, man, Ken, I agree with you 100%. I'm not in for a loner. I don't even blame Bledsoe. It's Bledsoe, it's out of his hands, man. These guys got all the control. I want to see the Sox. I'm glad they're doing well. I want to see them play a team that's got solid pitchers and solid hitters and then see what they really do.
You're going to see it next, Tim. Tim, you're about to see it against Tampa Bay because that's how things start.
Yeah, that's what I'm with you, Rich. I agree, man. Let's see the good teams and then see if they really are going to do it. Then they don't do anything if they don't go anywhere.
Absolutely. And you know what, Tim? You know, I give this – first of all, if you sweep three teams in a row, like that's – I don't care how good or bad they are, that's impressive. Like, that's really – especially on the road, that's impressive as hell. But the fact that, you know, Ted doesn't give them enough credit for the White Sox sweep, but the White Sox were one of the hottest teams in the league.
Yeah, they were.
When they started playing them, I think they had won like 11 or 12 in a row, and they had not lost a series yet at home.
They were like 24 and 6 at home.
Yeah, so I just think that you've got to start paying attention. Like, they have earned your attention.
Now, Tampa, you played Tampa in June. Remember that series? You got swept there. One of them, Nick Martinez, beat Tolley straight up. You lost 4-3, and then the other one. You remember we were on the air afterward. Drew Rasmussen struck out the first three batters in the Sox order three times in a row for the first time in modern baseball history.
Yep.
It was one of the low points of the year because they were 12 under. It was their worst record at that point since 1997. So you've played Tampa. They pretty much kicked your ass. you know, left, right, center. Somewhat close games, but still, they are clearly the best team in the American League. They've proven that.
My fear is that this team, Craig Breslow, John Henry, what they are going to say before the trade deadline is, well, two of our biggest stars are injured. And getting Garrett Crochet back and getting Roman Anthony back, that's like doing something at the trade
that's
deadline.
That's our own rental. Yeah, you'd love those.
That would drive me insane. Because first of all, you don't know how they're going to be when they get back. But second of all, what a missed opportunity. I hope that Breslow still thinks his job's in jeopardy. I really do. I hope that he doesn't feel that this has saved him and this has redeemed him. Mm-hmm. I want him to pull a move of a desperate manager because it's the right move.
Right. Let's go, Breslow.
Yeah, come on, Breslow.
Get on
right.
the phone.
Let's do it. You know, and if ownership's calling for a bat, then they're not doing a good enough job.
Correct.
Come on, John.
Come on, Theo.
That's right. Step out from under your parasol.
By the way, might I give our league leaders and who's circling the drain, presented by Drains by James. It is stunning, Rich. They're 30th in home runs, 28th in runs scored, but 4th in ERA and 3rd in all the important defensive metrics. So it is truly the haves and have-nots. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At drainsbyjames.com and at Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes.
Yes. All right. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And yeah, we'll take your calls because they're in a position where now not only should you be paying attention, they need to be paying attention to the fans. You've got them. They're back. They're back. Don't lose them. Don't F this up. You have a golden opportunity to make this. To redeem this awful season that you started with, which, by the way, talk about an all-time great story if you end up pulling something off here.
Historic. I mean, factually never been done, I think, from where they were to come back and make the postseason.
Absolutely. So I want Craig Breslow to pretend his job is still on the line. Do something drastic. Do it. Save your job. Please. Don't blow this chance because, man, nobody thought you were going to have it in the first place. All right, we'll take your calls next. Oh, yes. Is this Naughty by Nature?
Yeah, because I hate you.
Nailed it.
Because it sounds just like, you down with OPP? Yeah, new, no, me. You down with OPP? It's like the same beat.
Same group.
Didn't Jackson have a song idea for OPP? On the text chain?
He did, yes.
It was particularly bad. Maybe we glossed over it.
I think it was, you down with OGPG.
Oh, you down with old PG. Actually, that's not so bad. Are you down with old PG?
Oh, okay, Paul George. Yeah. All right. Listen, all I know is that we can talk about it, but it's when you hear the songsmith of our generation, Mr. Dale Ordway, actually deliver it, that's when you truly know the greatness.
Right, right.
It's like having Beethoven describe a song to you with his words. It doesn't matter. Then you hear him play it, and you're like, oh.
But it's somehow in the move from studios, we lost the Hey Jude of our generation in Hey Hooters.
Yeah, are we going to get that back? What's going on with that?
You better go find it, buddy, before they tear that building down.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that if that's gone, then it's I don't know what
we
you
riot.
Do.
Yeah.
You're going to have to riot. Okay.
It's easily recreatable. Don't worry.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure, man. Hey, Hooters. Unless you want to do like a live version. Like maybe we do a concert. Dale Ordway live. And you just do all of your hits in front of the crowd.
I'm in. I'll do a stand-up comedy, too.
There we go. It would just be a night of Dale Ordway. No question. All right. I don't have the specifics on this. So if you don't mind, Stiz, if you can kind of find this. But I said something the other day, and I didn't expect this quickly for it to become a thing. So when the New York Knicks won the championship, it sent all sorts of chaos all throughout the league. And this happens every year. You know, everyone, especially like in their conference, tries to construct a team that will beat whoever just won the championship. And in this case, the Celtics got, they went crazier than anybody. They just looked at what the Knicks were doing, and they looked at what some of those teams in the West were doing, and they said, we cannot win with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. We need a big in there. We need to change the way we look at things and how we approach the game of basketball. And they essentially did one of the more drastic changes that I've seen the Celtics do in a long time, and that was they got rid of a guy who was up for MVP this year in Jaylen Brown. But the other thing that I thought was going to be a massive storyline was that everyone was going to look at the Knicks, and they were going to see what Jalen Brunson did, and that was give up money in order to bring in better players.
You were so right about this. Amazing.
And I said to myself, I was like, you know what's going to happen? Is there's going to be teams that when they're re-signing guys, they're going to sit there on their players, their star players, and they're going to say, hey, I know you want this maximum amount of money, and God knows you're worth it, buddy. But if you want to win a championship, look what Jalen Brunson did. He took one for the team. He took less money in order to put guys around him that could build a championship. So let me ask you this. You've already made a ton of money. Don't you want to be a legend? I can hear them saying it. Like, I can hear it. And it's probably the exact same speech that Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft did when Tom Brady was taking less money, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, don't you want to take less money to be a champion? And I can even hear, the Krafts doing the same thing to Drake May. You know, for all these years, Brady took less. I know you want to set the market. I know you're worth it. But why don't you take less and put a good team around you? Well, now, faster than I even thought it was going to happen, it has happened in the NBA. And not only did it happen, it happened with one of the biggest stars.
Maybe the biggest.
The biggest. Like, you know, arguably the biggest. Someone who could have absolutely set the market with his payday. Or at least you can't really set the market because it's just the maximum amount in this league. But you have the numbers, right, Ken?
Yeah, Wembanyama, he took the quote-unquote 25% maximum when he could have taken the 30% supermax at $303 million. So I guess there were multiple frameworks on this deal. I mean, we need a true NBA like guru to get through this. But he took $50 million less because he's getting $5 million, 5 years, $252 million over the life of the deal. He could have totaled $303 if he had wanted it to. So truly $50 million less than he could have over a five-year contract. And this is the face of the NBA. We had that debate during the postseason. It's amazing. And if anybody's a box office attraction in the NBA that's worth the price of admission, I mean, don't you want to take your kids to, like, if Wemby's in town, it's like, let's go see Wemby. But yet this guy's going to have to take $50 million less so the owners can have their second apron and pocket more money at the back end of it. These Bill Chisholm guys who have who we've accused of just trying to, you know, make money the way they all do corporation wise. So it's unless they're funneling money to him somewhere else, which was always the talk about Brady, you're right. It's like a league trend where now guys are being pressured to have a better supporting cast. You got to take less.
Well, I think that he's taking $50 million less so they can afford to have somebody play his last 6 minutes of every game.
Well, yeah.
When he obviously wears out.
They probably did say that. Like, hey, you need help. Look, we can't have it all be you. We need to sign other players.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, you mentioned something that I think is fantastic. So, you know, this whole trade with Kawhi Leonard is screwy right now.
Oh, it's not going done. Right.
It's not done, and that's because Pablo Torre had this amazing investigation thing that he found was that apparently the Clippers, in order to get around, you know, in order to pay him more without, you know, technically being able to pay him more, they, according to his report, it was awesome that they set up like a fake company that he would do appearances for as if it was like an endorsement, but the money most likely was coming from the Clippers themselves. Like, I guess the company immediately went out of business. He never ended up doing the appearances that he got paid for. And it was a way of circumventing the cap where they could pay a player an extra amount of money to do that. And the crazy thing about it is because it's under investigation, he can't like move to another country. So this whole thing's been held up because he's under investigation in America.
They should have traded for JB. Safer deal. Toronto should have been in on JB.
Should have done that. Should have gone there. But you know what? The Knicks have done it. They've completely changed the NBA, and I think for the better. I think if you're going to have star players taking less money in order to get other players in there, hell yeah. Well, I'd rather have that.
I guess, but so it's interesting. So Scott Boras, our Rob Bradford's down in Philadelphia covering the All-Star festivities, and Boras just talked. And so I think Stiz found this little clip. He is ripping the Celtics and the NBA for their economics. So
this is Scott Boras?
Scott Boras, super
baseball
agent to baseball.
Agent. Okay, talking about the Celtics.
Talking about the Celtics.
Okay.
This is just from like an hour ago.
And my point is this system the NBA has is decapitating to competition. Because wouldn't the media, wouldn't the fans love to have a Boston Celtic team that had Jaylen Brown and all their other stars and the depth? We have the decapitated systems of the NBA, which I no longer can take a competitive team and keep it because I can't have depth and stars. I won't do it. I have a superstar in LeBron James saying that I will go out and play for probably 5% of my value so I can win.
So, that's amazing. You know that's driving all these agents crazy.
Yeah, of course he's arguing against the cap. It's less money for him. It's
exactly. And baseball wants to be the NBA, right? That's where they're going to lock people out next year.
I like that. I'm all for that. And I know that there's a bunch of people who are against it, but you cap the Major League Baseball, I am perfectly fine
with
that.
Well, it does suck if you're a Celtics fan and you were a big Jaylen Brown fan. Obviously, Ted wasn't. And you watched him go to Philly for a bad return, and he's showing up on lists like you had earlier as one of the worst trades of this century. So that sucks. Like, as a fan, that's not good that Tatum has to play with lesser people. Do you like that? I mean, generally speaking, I hear what you're saying. It's made a competitive league, but it's tough to argue that right now as a Celtics fan. That's a good thing.
They could have kept him. They could afford him. Like, that's the thing. It's like, don't come to me and say that this is a money thing. And he's saying that right now. No, they could have paid him. And at least they could have paid him for an extra year when you knew you were getting nothing for him.
Mm-hmm.
That deal was awful. There was no reason to get rid of him, but they wanted him gone. They wanted him gone, and it seems like he fired his way off the team. He certainly was telling teams he didn't want to go to that he wasn't going to re-sign with them and causing a stink. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I they could have kept him, so that's not a money thing.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right about that, and I guess that leads to something else, which is where every NBA GM, and probably baseball soon, will blame the economics as an excuse for something that they want to happen but not reveal to the public.
Sure, of course, because that's the way they run. Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. The Home Run Derby is tonight. Wilson Contreras is going to be out there. The format is completely different. Ken and I agree. I think it's going to stink.
Well, no, I disagree. I want to give it a shot. You hate it. You got ripped by callers earlier. I'm curious what Arcan thinks. He'll be in here shortly to join us as well.
All right. We'll get his take on it. This is a weird format that I think it spells disaster. But then again, you know what? I'm not a huge fan of the Home Run Derby anyway. As I said, out of all the things that are around these All-Star games, the three-point contest is the only one I truly love. The rest of them are all kind of, he could take them. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. Oh, what a good band. If you want to know where Seven Dust got their sound, it's this band. Stuck Mojo.
I was like, this couldn't be a Ted suggestion.
No. This is a band called Stuck Mojo that was like, they were like right at the beginning of the rap rock stuff. Like they were like early to mid 90s, right around when Rage Against the Machine was coming out. And they were good friends with the Seven Dust guys and the same kind of thing. But if you want to know where Seven Dust gets some of their sound, it's from that band there. Everyone thought that was the band that was going to blow up. From Atlanta, but Seven Dust was the one that ended up taking off. So, and by the way, Seven Dust is a very good band. This is not by any means a slight on Seven Dust. They're a great band in their own right. But that was kind of the band that everyone thought was going to blow up. And matter of fact, what's that band with Chris Jericho? Fozzy? Like, basically the guys from Stuck Mojo with Chris Jericho the wrestler is that band Fozzy.
Were you a Rage fan or not? Not so much.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Tom Morello is a fantastic guitarist. That band's, I mean, they're just a super tight, great band. And they're an original. So, yeah, absolutely. I do like Rage Against the Machine. All right. You know what? Should we unload some take grenades?
Arcan's settling in here, by the way. If you want to yell at him, you're welcome to.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, maybe while we're getting the take grenades ready, Christian Arcan, he's getting all set for everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, are we ready, Stiz? You think we're ready to roll?
Let's do it. Oh.
There we go. Our take grenades brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and Criminal Defense Attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for a free consultation. You have been leaving messages all throughout the show on the Odyssey app, pressing the microphone and leaving your take grenade, and we shall unload them here. Let's go. Pull!
With Jaylen Brown going to the Philadelphia 76ers and that lineup, is there enough ball to go around, especially with VJ Edgecombe being an up-and-coming player who has to earn certain credentials if he wants to get paid going forward in the NBA? So does Jaylen Brown disrupt that chemistry of now there's four guys that need the ball, want the ball? How do you distribute that during the course of the game and still get your other bench players, role players active and engaged in the game?
Christian, I predict implosion of this year's 76ers team. How do you feel, sir?
I think that's very possible. I think it's already starting a little bit with the Embiid Jaylen Brown thing. I think it's already beginning here. And I think, I don't know if you guys saw this, Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving sat down on the stream for a long conversation, which, by the way, that sentence makes me, like, physically sick just to even say. But I really believe Kyrie got it in Jaylen Brown's head. It's better to be a disruptor than a good teammate, and I think that's going to be a big problem for them this year.
Ooh, yeah, that if you didn't hear it earlier, Tracy McGrady, who's a good friend of Jaylen Brown's, said that Jaylen and Joel Embiid have not even spoken yet. And I was comparing it to, like, imagine if, like, SGA was traded to the Celtics, and after a week and a half he had not reached out to Jason Tatum. You'd be like, what? How is that possible?
Pretty weird.
Yep, pretty weird. By the way, these take grenades brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to milliganandhiggins.com for a free consultation. Let's get to the next one.
Rich, new studios and that microphone sounds like crap. Are you inside a tin can or, you know, what's going on in there?
Sorry, I didn't realize it didn't sound that good. I am remote today. I'll be back tomorrow, absolutely.
Yeah, but you're waiting for the studio to get totally fixed up top to bottom, no problems, then you'll be in, right?
Ken, you sound great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's of course it does.
I sound incredible. Rich, I don't know. Yeah, it's totally different.
Now, why is my microphone red in the studio? Like, why is it like...
It's like the Ted Williams
Red Sox red. Yeah. That's what I was told. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's very sportsy.
Because you're special.
It looks like you can contact the Kremlin, you know? like the red telephone they have in the White House. That's what I'm writing.
Get Ovechkin on the line.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we use it for. All right, let's go to the next one, shall we?
What's up, guys? Love the show. Was on vacation last week. Had to take a break from listening to the radio. I feel like I'm lost. But that's besides the point. Couple quick things about the show today. Rich, you said that Tyler Hero, most punchable face in the NBA. No, it's Grayson Allen, and it's not even remotely close. And on top of that, my second note of the day, Steve from Fall River calling in to criticize other callers and tell them not to call with nonsense. It's got to be the single funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because you, sir, are the worst caller in sports radio history. That's all I've got for today, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. He's right about Grayson Allen. I forgot about that. Mm. He might have the most punchable face in the NBA. I don't know. Is there anybody worse? That's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Ooh. All right, let's go to the next one, shall we?
All right, got a couple of things for you, boys. Number one, Drake May is God. Dude put on some serious muscle. All the disrespect he's getting in the offseason is just good, because the disrespect is going to be turned into just motivation and power, and our boy is going to punch it down the throats of all the haters and bring another ring home. Two, Tom Brady's a mutant. Can't stand that traitor. He's a POS. That's the end of that. Three, Ted, you're going to be mad, but Belichick also God tier, and that's where I'm leaving that. Last thing for you. Rich, I know you're a music guy. I think you should listen to Joe Armand Jones. That's A-R-M-O-N Jones. Gnawa, I think is how you pronounce it. Sweet. It's like a Moroccan type of music. Oh, dude, you're going to love it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Go Pats. Go Sox. And the Celtics probably are going to suck.
A wide range of call. Wow.
I know. I will have to listen to that artist that he just threw out there. Sure. To all the things he said, great. There was a lot to cover.
Was too much.
That was like a 10-second version of this show.
Yeah, it really was.
Basically what that was.
We should
do that. You have 30 seconds to recap everything we said. Go. All right, let's do that. We got one more, Stiz? Is that right?
Yeah, one more.
Let's launch it, baby.
Brad Stevens is a genius. He trades Jaylen Brown to the 76ers, knowing that Jaylen Brown sucks. So if we do see them in the playoffs, we know how to get right through them.
Mm.
It would be funny if, like, Brad saw something in Jaylen and then looked at the chemistry of the 76ers and was like, you know what? I'm going to just plant an explosive device inside the division, because I know that there's no way this could work.
Jaylen is the Trojan horse of the NBA in 2027.
Yeah, I forgot about Edgecombe, too. You're right. I mean, you've got, because obviously Edgecombe's growth is going to get stunted. I think Maxey's going to take a step backwards because there's just not enough ball to share with Jaylen Brown there.
Now, how do you guys feel about this? Dylan Mitchell, who they drafted in the second round, had a pretty good game in the Summer League Sunday, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 6 steals. At St. John's, he had shot 15 threes total in his St. John's college career. He shot 5 threes in the game. They told him to shoot. He was 2 for 5, which is not bad. But this is like they're back to Missoula ball. Like Ted had all these stats about how they're better without Jaylen Brown. At least he shot 2s some of the time. They're going to go back the other way.
Yeah. A kid like that, though, you want to expand his game a little bit, right? Like,
I mean, I guess.
He's only shot 15 in college.
It's just like.
Yeah, that summer league's the time to do it, right?
It took him half a day, and they're already hitting these, like, shoot threes, dude.
Yeah, I have a feeling that, you know, Christian, real quick, I'll just ask you, because somebody, I think Ted asked it earlier, maybe it was you, Ken. It was, who's going to end up being the better team next season? Like, who's going to go further in the playoffs, the Sixers or the Celtics?
I think the Sixers, just off top.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Edgecombe is going to get blocked more by Maxey than he would be by Jaylen. There's not another real wing on that team. You know, like, he's basically the guy on the wing there.
They got rid of Oubre and they have some other guys.
And, you know, Embiid's probably going to be out a lot because he always is. So, you know, I think that they're probably a little bit better just overall talent-wise. But it really depends with the Celtics and their draft picks. Like, that's what they've modeled the team after Tatum around are these defense-first young guy, Jordan Walsh, Hugo Gonzalez, you know, like they're all kind of the same. And it's sort of what the Thunder tried to do. You know, you give a lot of money to the one guy. They don't really have a second-best player. And you just have all these defensive players come in and try and suffocate the other team. That's a bold strategy for these Celtics.
It's a bold strategy for the new player on the team, Jaylen Brown, to not reach out to essentially the king of that team, being Joel Embiid.
He never reached out to Tatum either, so what the hell's the difference? They want a title.
True. That's a decent point. All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls and sweep the leg next. Oh, yes, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, and we got Christian Arcan in here, and you can call us at 617-779-7937. Is there any actor who has made more great movies by playing the same guy every time than Tom Cruise?
Sylvester Stallone. Cruise second, I guess.
No, I would say I would put Cruise's work up against Sylvester Stallone's any day.
For some reason, I watched The Color of Money over the weekend for the first time in my life. I'd never seen it. Maybe it was inspired by playing pool with you guys last week. Not horrible. He's not quite the same guy he always is in that movie.
I smoked you guys, by the way.
Yeah, well,
I hope you all recall that.
Rich was undefeated.
I was undefeated.
That's because I left.
Arkin had that sweet, he jumped the ball.
Yeah, he hopped the ball. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I gave you all a good lesson.
It was the Massé.
Also, Jason Statham plays the exact same character in every single movie.
Oh, good call,
But I guess what I'm trying to say is there are a bunch of actors who play the same people in every movie, but is there anybody who's made more great movies playing themselves than Tom Cruise?
John Wayne?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't.
Clint Eastwood.
I don't know that man. But like, he made a lot of movies. You know,
it did. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, his character in Top Gun is the same as his character in Mission Impossible. Is the same as his character in Days of Thunder. Is the same as his character in A Few Good Men. Even when he tried to do something different and play a bad guy in Collateral, he was still Tom Cruise in all those other movies, just playing a bad guy. And the great thing about him too is that even his bad movies are great. Like was wildly enjoyable.
Which movie you just cut out there?
Cocktail.
Cocktail.
Like, bad movies Cocktail. Are great. Yeah. Like, Cocktail was so bad it was kind of funny.
The Outsiders, very good, early 80s.
Sure.
Great like, cast.
Tom Cruise, as far as playing the same guy in every movie, he's, man, been able to do it for a long time, and most of the time, Edge of Tomorrow? Oh,
Edge of Tomorrow's really good. Underrated.
You want to talk... That movie was so underrated. First of all, it was a flop at the box office because nobody knew what Edge of Tomorrow was. And then they changed the name of the movie when it came out on demand. They changed it to Live, Die, Repeat.
Really?
Yep, they did, because that's essentially what the movie is. It's like Groundhog Day, except he's in a battle against a bunch of aliens. Great movie if you've not seen it. But there is one thing that I want to say to Tom Cruise. Is Tom Cruise is great the way he is, all right? He's done all of these Mission Impossible movies. The guy is like basically almost died for our entertainment. The stuff he does, these stunts are unbelievable. But now I think that he's sitting there just going, like, he's obviously said to himself, now I want an Oscar. Because this new movie that he's coming out in called Digger, have you heard or seen
the
trailer?
Yeah, what is it? I haven't. It looked so bizarre. Like, what is going on?
I have never seen someone screaming, give me an Oscar, more than this. Maybe Sean Penn and I Am Sam. But this might be the all-time worst give me an Oscar that I have ever seen. Because, first of all, a trailer came out about 2 weeks ago for this movie, Digger. The trailer had almost nothing of the movie in it. It was 2 minutes of, look at how great Tom Cruise has been over the years. And it was a highlight reel of like, oh, he's brought you all these amazing things. This is a trailer for the new movie. And it's like scenes from Risky Business, scenes from, you know, The Color of Money. And it's like, look at how great he is. He goes, and now something he's never done before. And you see him from a distance and he's fat.
He's fat.
And so now
it's like fat and old.
Yeah, right. So the new trailer, it just came out today. And of course, he got fat for the role. And he's got an accent that's all crazy. And he's got all this like makeup on his face to make him look ugly. And I have never in my life seen a campaign that is just screaming, please give me an Oscar.
He's got range.
It worked for it worked for Brendan Fraser in The Whale a few years ago.
Wow.
Sure, but the thing is that, like, I mean, you know, Tom Cruise, we know what Tom Cruise is. By the way, the fact that Tom Cruise hasn't won some sort of award, I mean, the guy is truly the last great movie star.
He's never won an Oscar.
Why would he win an Oscar? He's never won it for acting. Was he up for
Born on the 4th of July? He probably was up for it.
He was probably up for it then, but he also played Tom Cruise in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was up for it with A Few Good Men, which, oh, A Few Good Men. Mm. So great. Great. What a great,
Eyes
great
Wide
movie.
Shut.
Tropic Thunder.
Well, Tropic Thunder, that's once again all the makeup, and they put it on there, and he was pretty funny in that. But this, you should see, just Google what he looks like in this. It's Tom Cruise and Digger, and it's just, please, please give me an Oscar. The only thing that was more, please give me an Oscar, it wasn't more, but the only thing that was close was the last third of Oppenheimer, when the whole third of that movie was just to give Robert Downey Jr. an Oscar. Mm. Like, let him ham it up. Just, how dare you, sir? You are the one that is out of line. And I'm like, no, the bomb's gone off. I don't care about the rest of this.
207
like, we saw the bomb.
Liam Neeson, good suggestion there. Kind of always the same guy.
True.
So Liam Neeson in the last, like, 15 years, ever since Taken, just was, like, your action star.
Yep.
You, like, all he did was make I'm Going to Come and Find You and Kill You movies.
Excellent in Batman.
And then Naked Gun, too. He made the new Naked Gun remake, too. Yeah.
Which, by the way, very funny.
Pretty good.
The new Naked Gun was very good. That was worth your time.
Liam Neeson can be low-key funny.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He was funny in Ted. He had a funny cameo in Ted.
He did.
So who would you say, Rich, is the greatest actor of our generation? Like, currently
Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage.
Sorry, forget about Cage, because that's like a weird obsession of yours.
Nicolas Cage is the greatest actor of our time.
Okay. What's that movie, Rich, where he can see like 2 minutes into the future with Jessica Biel? You know that movie? What's that one called?
Oh, it's called.
He's like a magician. It's the stupidest movie I've ever seen, but I love it.
Oh, what was it called? Oh, it's called like Awakened or something like that. Oh,
yeah, that was
Roger Ebert like loved it and got killed for liking it.
Really, I loved it too. I understand that it was bad, but I did love it. And Jessica Biel, he like seduces Jessica. Next.
That's it. Yeah,
great movie.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the guy was, first of all, Honeymoon in Vegas is amazing because he breaks down. Raising Arizona is the greatest.
Okay,
now I'm going to go off.
Beside Nick Cage, who's second?
Billy Bob Thornton. Jeff Bridges.
Wow.
Those two I would put there. Billy Bob Thornton is so good, we take it for granted. And by the way, if you watch Sling Blade, you can't even believe that that's Billy Bob Thornton. Like, his coming out party is honestly one of the best acting performances and written movies. Like, Sling Blade is mind-blowingly good. Like, if you've never seen it, like, the writing in it's fantastic. He's great. And I think Jeff Bridges is also one of the more underrated actors
he's
out
the
there.
He's the dude, yeah.
I've been meaning to see Sling Blade for, like, 10 years now.
Oh,
now,
dude,
I'm going to have to do it now that you just said it.
I think Sling Blade's hard to find. Like, recently I recommended to somebody, like, dude, it's not streaming anywhere, which is weird.
That is
weird. But that's a great – Sling Blade's great. I just Googled – oh, yeah, I think you can find it on Amazon Prime now. So there you go. So, yeah. How about you, Ken? Like,
I would say Christian Bale if I had to be pushed. But it's not like – a landslide. Like, the old generation had so many, obviously, you know, you go through the greats of all time. They were like obvious. Clint Eastwood was like an obvious one, but that's not the current generation. But I would say Bale's, and Edward Norton is good.
Ooh, my favorite.
You want to hear a hot take? This is a really hot take. I think that Ben Affleck was a better Batman than Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Now, what? I think
that is a hot take.
I think the movies were way worse, But I don't think Christian Bale was a great Batman. I kind of agree with this.
You didn't like the voice?
It got old after a while.
No.
What do you want? It's like, all right, come on.
But I think that Affleck actually kind of had that Bruce Wayne swagger, and I think he was a better Batman, but the Nolan movies are way better. Mm. Don't get it twisted. But as a Batman, Affleck might have him beat.
No, not your best.
I think Michael Keaton might have him beat.
I mean,
those first two, Keaton was good. I liked him as that. Yeah, he was the best Bruce Wayne, I think. Michael Keaton.
Yes, yeah. I agree. No question. But we all love Clooney the best, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, no question. With the bat nipples.
Bat nips.
Batman and Robin is so bad, it's great. Like, watch the first 15 minutes of that movie, and you'll be like, I need to watch that again. They go surfing in, like, space and stuff. Yeah.
Bad credit card.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. They had the bad credit card, that, too. Close-up shots of their cod pieces. All right.
A lot of Denzel votes. Yeah, Denzel's good. That's Wiggy's
Denzel
favorite.
Denzel is kind of the same guy in every movie. Denzel's amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean,
Gene Hackman for me.
Yeah, but that's not current generation.
Why not?
He's like old school. He made movies in the 60s and 70s.
But he made movies in the 90s and 2000s, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he was 2010s? Older, but he was in them.
Crimson Tide.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, yes. All right, we got to go. It's Rich Ken, Ted Johnson. Of course, Christian, thank you so much. Red Sox baseball is not tonight because we have the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
We have got a special, right, Ted? Right, Ken?
Yes, we do. Rob Bradford will be... Well, live from Philly, but they taped a lot of stuff in Chicago as well. They'll be getting ready for the Derby tonight.
Everybody have fun. We'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Bye.
What do parents think of back to school at Staples, where supplies start at just 25 cents?
Staples has the latest laptops with up to 40% savings.
I may hug the cashier.
So embarrassing.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's a wonderful time at Staples with up to 40% off select tech. Staples.
That was easy.
Visit Staples today or shop online and in the app. Ends 9/12. Exclusions apply.
Boston knows a good decision when it sees one. Like saving an average of $900 by...